Now, he confessed to that yesterday, but one of them says he refused to follow instructions from al-Qaeda superiors, pestered them with cell phone calls, and otherwise broke most of al-Qaeda's rules. And General Motors says it's laying off about 500 U.S. salaried workers as part of a plan to bring its operations back to profitability. Mark Shearer, Air America.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool
Support
styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74. This is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residence. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and receive a smoke detector with free 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
Tired of having people repeat and repeat what they are saying? Louder and louder so you can hear? In those embarrassing moments with the new Amplayer 2005, so small and powerful you won't believe the difference. Amplayer 2005 is so reliable, over 100,000 are in use nationwide. Hear even faint phone conversations with ease. Enjoy your favorite TV show, the theater, sporting events, and family functions without straining to hear. Amplayer is fully adjustable, fits both men and women, and is nearly invisible. Results are so effective, they're 100% guaranteed or your money back. Not $79 or $39. Order your Amplayer 2005 today for only $19.95. You'll also receive 5 extra batteries, a cleaning brush, and 3 custom fit earpieces absolutely free with your order. Call 1-800-841-7878. Never apologize again for not being able to hear. Order now and get a second Amplayer 2005 for only $14.95. Our operators are standing by. Call 1-800-841-7878 today. That's 1-800-841-7878. Order your Amplayer and hear even a whisper.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. Ivan Osorio is the editorial director at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website. Ivan, should workers take the hit if their employer has a Ken Lay-style CEO?
No. And it's a problem that's come about because of the current pension insurance system, which has created this atmosphere of moral hazard, which is in a way has become a bailout for companies not modernizing their pension their pension systems.
By modernize, you mean do away with their pensions and replace them with savings accounts like 401ks?
Moving them. To the defined contribution.
Because a 401k is not a pension. A pension, you get a certain amount of money for the rest of your life until you die. And a 401k is a savings account.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that workers should not have pensions, right?
Yeah. Well, what 401ks do now, though, they do allow greater mobility because we are moving away from this industrial economy where people would stay with an employer for 30 years. And then get a pension. That's not really tenable when people change jobs, several times throughout their lives. As far as pensions themselves, there's no reason why pensions could not survive. What's happened, though, it's that pension insurance, the way it's structured now, because it's subsidized by the federal government, the pension insurance premiums are not set to reflect the market. There's a lot of companies paying too little in premiums, which, of course, means that they're essentially getting a free ride here.
But when you guys are out there from Competitive Enterprise Institute and others on the right arguing that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is not appropriately funded or it has this problem or that problem, the real bottom line here is that what you're saying is that we should do away with pensions and replace them with savings accounts, right? Isn't that really the issue?
No. It's to do away with federal pension insurance. Because there's really no reason why the market couldn't insure pensions. I mean, there's an insurance market for pretty much everything.
So do you think it should be mandated like car insurance is?
Pardon?
So do you think it should be mandated like car insurance is? If a corporation is going to have pensions, then they have to buy pension insurance, just like if you or I want to drive a car, we have to buy car insurance?
That's too complicated an issue to answer right now. But, yeah, I mean, you could have...
Well, isn't it kind of a yes or no?
Insurance mandates, yeah. I mean, and I'm not...
So if you're going to have mandated insurance, then why would you want to have that required insurance? If a corporation is required to buy insurance, why would you want to have that insurance administered by an entity that has as its primary goal deriving a profit from the people who are getting the insurance and has to pay part of that profit as dividends to their stockholders and has to pay huge salaries to its CEOs and has to market and compete in the marketplace and all those kinds of things that drive up costs rather than having an entity like the federal government run it, which, for example, like Medicare operates at 2.5% of overhead, whereas, your big HMOs are running 15-20% of overhead.
Well, no, I'm not endorsing mandates. I'm not discounting them either, but,
without a mandate, then you got nothing. You're back to, you said that workers should not take the hit if their employer has a Ken Lay-style CEO, but if there's not mandated pension insurance, and I've spent 20 years working at a company or 30 years working at a company, and the company goes down the tubes and there's no pension insurance, I'm screwed.
Well, there's also a tort system, but mandates aside.
There's what? The tort system? You mean I can sue?
Yeah.
A bankrupt company? Tell that to the people who worked for Enron.
Well, that's another issue. So, mandates aside, though, the key issue here is the premiums. Because right now the premiums – and the problem with the federal system right now is that you don't have – the premiums do not reflect the market. They don't reflect what the insurance is actually worth. The system has been so politicized that essentially companies are under the PBGC, are paying way too little. Rates are not set to reflect. They're not set to reflect the market. I mean, there is no market in pension insurance because the federal government has taken it out from that.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you that Congress has bungled this thing. I mean, basically, the PBGC is underfunded right now. If we had a 1929 style event, and we had another Republican Great Depression, a lot of people's pensions would be in trouble because the federal pension guarantee fund is underfunded. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that you're using that reality that we agree on, that you're using that as a lever to try and spring loose pensions, to try and bring down pensions, to try and make pensions less stable, less attractive, and make things like 401ks, which are profitable for the financial services industry, and place all of the risk on the employee and none of the risk on the employer. And the employee better hope that they invest in the right place and that they don't put all their 401k in the wrong stock or whatever.
So you're saying that employees should have no, should bear no risk for their own money?
I am saying that we have, that most Americans believe in an America where there's a social contract that says that if you put in your 40 hours a week and you work your butt off for years, for decades for your employer, you live by the rules, you play by the rules, that you should have a safe retirement.
Yes.
And I'm suggesting that what you're trying to do is undermine that social contract. What you're saying is, no, the employer should have the guarantee. The employer should know that their contribution is absolutely limited. But the employee, if the company decides to go out of business, the employee is tough.
No, I'm not saying employers should have any guarantee of anything. I mean, no company is too big to fail. I mean, companies should be allowed to fail if they're not.
Okay, then let me rephrase that. What you're suggesting then is that the employees should not have a social safety net. They should not have the benefit of a protection. And that, you know, by and large, you're trying to take apart the pension system and replace it with a savings account system.
No, a social safety net is something that's run by the government. I mean, private savings is something entirely different.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a social safety net. That's not retirement. No, there's no reason why pensions cannot survive.
Ivan Osorio with Competitive Enterprise Institute, are you really trying to work here to allow the pension system in the United States to survive and to grow, or are you, you know, ultimately, what's your goal here? What would you like to see happen with the pension system in the United States?
I'd like to see healthy pensions that are not dependent on political decisions, which is what the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation has done.
But corporations are dependent on political decisions. I mean, corporations are artificial entities created by law. Let me back up a little bit.
It's a big bailout. I mean, I'm assuming you're against big bailouts for big business.
It would depend. It really would depend. I mean, This is what the Reagan administration was facing, or I guess it was Bush senior administration was facing when the Reagan administration's economic policies and you know their attempt at laissez-faire and bank deregulation led to the $500 billion collapse of the savings and loan industry. Should we have let that industry go down and let millions of Americans lose their savings? I don't think so. So no, I can't say I'm universally against bailing out big business.
When such insurance, though, creates moral hazard this moral hazard creates an incentive for businesses to take risks that they wouldn't otherwise.
Right.
And that's what pension insurance has done.
Are you suggesting, Ivan Osorio, that if I buy health insurance, that encourages me to behave in an unhealthy way? If I buy life insurance, that encourages me to put my life at risk? If I buy car insurance, that encourages me to go out and get in accidents?
Not necessarily, to varying extents. No, it's not the same thing.
If that's what you're suggesting, and you're saying therefore, if a company has pension insurance, it's going to encourage them to behave badly. We would, I think, then have to agree that corporations are sociopaths.
That's a rational reaction. What happens if you get something for less than what it's worth? You're not going to appreciate its value, which is what's happening with pension insurance, and it's what's happening with pensions. Too many corporations are not really bearing the cost of what their pensions should cost, and which is why the PBGC is underfunded. It's essentially being subsidized.
It's underfunded. As I said, we agree on this. It's being underfunded because we have a Republican-controlled Congress, a Republican-controlled House and Senate, and presidency, and none of them are willing to take this on.
That is not actually, Congress is taking it on, but it's just doing a Band-Aid. I mean, like they want to increase the premiums, which would help. But the problem is the way the system is set up, it's not allowed to reflect pricing,
okay.
Market pricing.
And people can read all about it over at CEI.org. The article that Ivan Osorio wrote: "Abolish Federal Pension Guarantees." originally published in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Ivan, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Good talking with you. It's 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, The True People's Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. Call right now. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
When I look at today's Congress, I think of the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion in The Wizard of Oz. No heart, no brain, and no courage. This bunch has cravenly caved in to the Bush-Cheney regime's power grab to impose an imperial presidency on the U.S. For example, when it was revealed last December that Bush was not merely a lawbreaker, but had repeatedly flaunted the law for 4 years by issuing secret and illegal orders to spy on the American people, what did Congress do? At first, there was much huffing and puffing, indignantly demanding a deep investigation into the criminality of the secret snooping. But then, Pat Roberts, the pathetically weak-kneed chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, abruptly canceled plans for a Senate investigation and ran to the White House waving a surrender hanky. He came out beaming, comically claiming that he had negotiated a deal with Dick Buckshot Cheney. Roberts said that in exchange for the Senate giving up its crucial investigative function, Cheney graciously agreed to give the Senate an oversight role in Bush's illegal spy program. Wow, way to go, Pat. But wait, specifically, what did he get? Well, a new subcommittee. This 7-member panel is to get occasional reports from the White House on the secret snooping. Hello, Pat. Your full committee is already supposed to be getting such reports and using the information to stop any illegal executive actions. Here's a president who has flagrantly committed a serious felony, punishable by a 5-year prison term. Yet, rather than hold Bush accountable, the Senate agrees to set up a superfluous subcommittee to watch him continue breaking the law. This is Jim Hightower saying, luckily there is one senator with a heart, brains, and courage, Russ Feingold. To learn more about his effort to censure Bush, call 202-224-5323.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
I went in the darkness just searching for some place to be. Wasn't looking for trouble, I guess it was looking for me.
And welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. You're smack dab in the middle of the vast liberal conspiracy. And welcome to it. Theodore Roosevelt, that liberal Republican president, he said, this country will not be a good place for any of us to live in unless we make it a good place for all of us to live in. Well said, Teddy. Well said. Our quote for the day. Welcome back to our program. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-8466. If you want to drop into our live chat room, go to TomHartman.com and click on live chat. Andy Card is stepped down. He's being replaced by Josh Bolton. Meet the new boss, the same as the old boss, Josh Bolton, the guy who presided over a nearly $2 trillion increase in the debt of the United States government while he was the head of the Office of Management and Budget. Yes, the Bush administration rewarding Republicans, once again, rewarding incompetence. You'd think, you know, I'm surprised he didn't put Brownie in this job. You know, it's a, let's go out and find the most incompetent person we can, a guy who's screwed up this country as badly as possible, and put him on him. Bolton only gave us an extra, you know, what, $1.3 trillion debt, as I recall. Was it 1.8? 1 point something. 1.8, yeah. $1.8 trillion in 34 months. Hey, if he can do that, think what he can do if we give him even more power. Old Bushy there smiling. It's grim. And in the meantime, the war, the conservative war on the American working class continues. And the conservative war on democracy continues. The first shot fired with Ronald Reagan.
I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah, we don't need pension guarantee insurance. Let's just do away with that stuff. After all, if Ken Lay happens to run your company, you were stupid to have gone to work for him, right? So the conservatives would have you think. Ronald Reagan, by the way, the first president of the United States to turn America into a net debtor nation. The first to increase debt faster than the national income over an 8-year period. The first to increase debt faster than the growth of GDP over an 8-year period. The first to double the deficit in just 8 years. The first to almost triple the national debt in just 8 years. The first to increase spending by 80% over 8 years. The first to spend more in 8 years than was spent in the entire prior 50 years. The first to have served as governor and increased state spending by 112%. The first to allow the savings and loan industry to be raided after signing a deregulatory bill and claiming, quote, I think we've hit the jackpot, end quote. Yes, that's what he said when he signed a deregulatory bill, deregulating the savings and loan industry. Come and get it. Vaults unguarded. Now, Neil Bush knew how to cash in with Silverado savings and loan. This was a real windfall for these guys. First to have an admiral plead the Fifth Amendment. First to have a Marine lieutenant colonel plead the Fifth Amendment. First to have a sitting cabinet member indicted. First to have an assistant secretary of state indicted. First to have an assistant secretary of defense sent to prison. The first to have over 100 members of his administration charged with felonies. The first to have more members of his administration charged with crimes than the cumulative total of all other presidents in the 20th century. The first to have a $10 million increase in personal wealth while serving 8 years as president? Figure that one out. The first to testify under oath 130 times, I don't remember. First to have an admiral with a photographic memory testify 128 times, I don't remember. The first to promote his religious faith and never attend active church, or have an active church membership, excuse me. The first to seek guidance from astrologers. On it goes. The first to have had unemployment at 10.8%. It was Ronald Reagan, number one in farm foreclosures, number one in bank failings, number one in savings loan failings, number one in the percentage of increase in personal bankruptcies, number one in recorded what were referred to as misstatements back then. You could call it lies. I would, you know, apparently he had Alzheimer's in his third year of his 8. So I guess we can cut him a little slack. This according to the president of the geriatrics department of a major university. But he had to have a full-time guy, a full-time staff person to stand by after press conferences to tell the press what he really meant. First president to ever do that. Number one in having servicemen killed during peacetime. First president to honor Nazi stormtroopers by calling them innocent victims. First to say, I don't dye my hair. My barber uses a special shampoo. Oh, my. Yeah. The first, Ronald Reagan, the war on the American middle class, the war on America, kicked off by Ronald Reagan, followed up by George Bush Sr., followed through in some part by Bill Clinton with NAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization, signing the Telecommunications Act, not going back and reinforcing the Sherman Antitrust Act. And now, oh boy, the door is wide open with George W. The piggies are coming like crazy in their starched white shirts. 27 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies, so I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The Newspaper Guild says it hasn't received the financial information it needs in an attempt to bid on 12 Knight Ridder newspapers being sold off by McClatchy, the company that acquired 32 daily newspapers for $4.5 billion. The Guild says competitors who originally bid on all 32 papers have information that parties interested in just the 12 papers have not yet received. Eight of the papers being bid on are represented by the Guild.
Students at hundreds of universities are kicking off a National Student Labor Week of Action in solidarity with workers. Eddie Morales is president of the U.S. Student Association.
We're going to be showing films, hosting rallies, and actions targeting administrators. Students hope to help workers win concrete victories in their efforts to secure fair wages, benefits, and to form and join unions.
More and more, Morales says, corporations and corporate money are dominating universities. Students, Morales says, are awakening now to the struggles of workers and the need to join those struggles.
Students have started to realize that the standards that they set of living for workers on their campuses directly affects their ability to get the most out of their college experience, and then let alone support an individual's wants for dignity and, you know, the ability to work in a climate that values their presence. And I think that is, you know, a philosophical argument that most students get behind.
The National Student Labor Week of Action is co-sponsored by Jobs with Justice, the U.S. Student Association, and a national network of community labor coalitions.
The Canadian Auto Workers leadership is pushing to pull the union support from that country's new Democratic Party. The CAW is Canada's largest private sector union, and the leadership is seeking to reaffirm a position of independent politics with no ties to one party. Part of the decision comes from the Ontario NDP kicking CAW President Buzz Hargrove out of the party because he advocated strategic voting. For example, in situations where it seemed the NDP had little chance of winning during January's election, he suggested support should be put behind Liberal candidates. Hargrove, who has been a member of the NDP for more than 40 years, says it's time for Canadian Labour to hold all government accountable, no matter which party is in power.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit, amounting to an overall $720 billion imbalance, equivalent to more than 6% of total U.S. goods and services. As the aerospace industry flexes its muscle, it not only bolsters its business, but the entire economy.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. When you here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Brought to you, our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 511-MACS. Give them a call and say hi if there's anything you need computer-wise. And EcoWine, 1-888-ECOWINE, 1-888-ECOWINE for some of the world's finest imported organic French wines. Bunch of folks have called in asking where I got the list of Reagan firsts. You can easily Google this thing. Just Google Ronald Reagan records, plural, as first. And the second thing that comes up is from BartCop.com. There's other sources. There's a bunch of these things floating around the web. And different people compile them in different ways with different spins on them. It's fairly easy to do because Reagan really did. He did establish a whole lot of records. Throughout that era, it was amazing. This was when, you know, toward the end of Reagan's administration, this was, the rise of Limbaugh and all this stuff. And I remember people saying to me, oh, look at this, there's a great economy that Ronald Reagan has brought us. And I just kept saying, you give me a $3 trillion credit card, I'll show you what it looks like to live high. And people would, look at you with a blank expression, what are you talking about? Well, future generations are going to have to pay for this. And the result of it is going to be that the middle class is going to get wiped out. And they're like, oh, come on, give me a break. No, it's happening right now. Now it is happening. The Google search, Ronald Reagan. Hang on just a second here. Let me find it again. I closed it. I closed the window. I'm sorry. I don't. Alex just asked me to repeat the Google search. And Ronald Reagan records, plural, as first is, one of the easy ways that you can find this thing. 1-866-440-8466. 440-THOM, our telephone number. Charles in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hey, Charles, what's up?
Hey, man.
What's on your mind today?
I just want to know, once we get a Democratic Congress finally in there, are they going to be able to go back and investigate and do something about these crimes that this administration and the Republican Party have been committing?
Let's hope so. I mean, that's the best I can say is let's hope so. I was saddened that Bush Sr. succeeded in avoiding any investigation into the October surprise. You know, his stealing the election in 1980, him and Reagan.
Does this country just not give a damn about crime anymore? I mean, is the rule of law a joke? Is that what we're at?
Well, that's where we're at with the Republican Party, certainly, Charles. Yeah.
And
with some Democrats. Say that again.
One more point, Tom.
Sure.
The whole discussion about illegal immigration
is
retarded because we're not discussing the root of the problem. We're not doing anything about the people who profit from this cheap labor. We're not doing anything to penalize them.
That's right.
We're going to focus on the little guy.
That's right. And what amazes me, Charles, is that this is such an opportunity for the Democratic Party and for progressives across the United States. Cesar Chavez, the guy who started the United Farm Workers Union, an American. He was born in Yuma, Arizona. Cesar Chavez used to turn in illegal immigrants. The United Farm Workers Union was opposed to illegal immigration because they understood that illegal immigration drives down the cost of labor. And you know, one of the things that unions do, and, you know, I'll say this straight up, conservatives say it like they're cursing them, but it's true, one of the things that unions do is try to limit the supply of labor, and you do that because you want to drive up the price of it. And I think that's a good thing, frankly. I mean, that's what, you know, you do it on behalf of working people, but the cons, no. They want there to be an infinite supply of labor. Andy in Tampa Bay, Florida. Hey, Andy, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I guess this is just another example of the golden rule. If you've got the gold, you make the rules. But down here in Florida, we've had a couple of hurricanes obviously come through, and there was a lot of people who on the coast couldn't afford insurance on their homes. So the state designed this new company called Citizens Insurance. It was supposed to be the insurance company of last resort. And that means that they would have to prove that they could not get insurance from any other regulated carrier. Well, what this thing has done is it's grown into the second largest insurer in Florida for homes because the state has set this thing up that said that every homeowner in the state of Florida has to pay a surcharge into this fund.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, there was a story in the Tampa Tribune on Monday that said that they had done some research, and for a $1 million home on the beach, they were actually paying less than had they gone through a conventional insurer.
Well, probably everybody would be paying less than if they'd gone through a conventional insurer, because a government agency doesn't have to skim money off the top to pay dividends to their stockholders and huge salaries to their CEOs.
Well, I guess what's being debated here in Florida now is that, is it fair for every homeowner in the state of Florida to have to pay into a fund that's only going to be for the benefit of those people who live on the ocean?
On the ocean, yeah. Well, that's a good question.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't to me either, Andy, but I don't live in Florida, and I'm not that familiar with your local issues, so I can't take it on a national show. I'm sorry, but an interesting one to bring up. Mark is speaking of Florida. Mark in Cocoa, Florida on the line. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good. Must be Florida hour.
Yeah, it must be. I've been listening to your comments about the war in the middle class, and I've been just watching things go downhill for the last few years, and I'm just so angry. I don't know what to do. But
well, I'll tell you what to do. Get active politically.
Well, that's what I am doing. I joined my local Democratic Executive Committee, and we're trying to get a couple of candidates in there.
Great.
These congressional Republican congressmen, but what's going on here is that the so-called attempt by the Bush administration to get spending under control by cutting non-discretionary spending and all discretionary spending and all this sort of stuff has come downhill here to where they're cutting back Medicaid and Medicare funding here in Florida. And my mother is a recipient of that. She's been in a nursing home for 4 years. She's in stage 3 of Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment by our great governor, also the president's brother, was, well, you know, we never intended Medicaid and Medicare to be a social program for the middle class, unquote. My mother.
Well, they didn't, and these programs were created back when there actually was a middle class in the United States.
Right.
But increasingly, the middle class is the working poor.
That's true. Well, now, you know, I was a Republican up until about 4 years ago, and I got laid off, and I figured out what was going on, and I just said, you know, I've been fooled all these years, all this business with tax cuts. And essentially, tax cuts is just a little pabble to make everybody think they have more money in their pocket when middle-class wages aren't really going up.
Yep.
But the thing that's going on here is that they're saying that they're going to have to rethink Medicaid, and basically it looks like my mother may lose some of her funding here. And she came down in 1994. We took care of her for 10 years. We went through her entire life savings, about $250,000. My wife quit her job to take care of her, provide in-home care for her for the last 3 years before she went to the nursing home. It cost me thousands of dollars. I almost went bankrupt. Then I got laid off and all this kind of stuff. And I just resent like hell somebody telling me that it was a welfare program for middle class.
Yeah, what we are seeing actually, Mark, what you're seeing is, to a large extent, the way that Medicare is being administered by the states and the way it's being set up, in order to be eligible for it, you have to wipe out all of your assets.
And
so really what it is, I mean, you talk about the death tax. The estate tax, first of all, doesn't even begin to hit people until, you know, you've got a combined income of, or assets rather, $3, $4, $5 million, depending on which year you're talking about. But this really is the middle class death tax. The way that Medicare is administered is guaranteed to suck all of the assets out of middle class families and convert them into wealth for Bill Frist and families in his industry. His father, one of the 20 or one of the 50 richest men in America, worth several $1 billion as a consequence of taking nursing homes and hospitals private and squeezing money out of the middle class. And it's just this huge transfer of wealth away from the middle class, just as you just described, into the pockets of these private healthcare corporations.
But it's just it's
wrong.
So angry listening to it, all this crap coming down about all this sort of stuff.
That's why, Mark, we need to convert our anger, our righteous anger, into righteous political activity. It's just there is no other alternative. As long as we've got politicians who keep shoveling this stuff out, we have to be standing up and pointing out what it is, even though if you can't say those words on the radio, if you know what I'm talking about.
I got you, Tom. The thing that one other point is that I listen to all these people talk about, well, you know, big government is the enemy and so forth. And
well, it wasn't the Soviet Union.
And all the stuff that they're trying to basically recycle, push the money back into the rich people's pockets. The issue is that if you or I went out and decided we want to divert some of our income to a different activity, but we didn't cut our spending first and then divert the income, you and I would be bankrupt, and we'd be, you know, or we'd be fired if we were running a company. And essentially, what I see all these tax cuts and things is just a sneaky way of eliminating social programs in this country. And
they were right up front about it. You know, Grover Norquist came out 10, 15 years ago, 2002, and with Mara Lassen on NPR, he's saying, you know, we don't want to destroy government. We just want to shrink it down to the point where we can drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub. And these guys are right up front about it. They believe that all these social programs like Medicare and Social Security and all this, that they think that it's socialism. Here's the grand poobah of the whole thing.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
And you know what those policies are? It's Social Security. Medicare came along after that. Roosevelt tried. And workman's compensation, minimum wage laws, unemployment insurance, all those kinds of programs.
Well, here we are. It's 1927 again.
There you go. Well, I think it's closer to 1929, but yeah. Good point.
Go.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. It's our number 866-440-8466, 8440-THOM. Drop by our live chat room, TomHartmann.com, and just click the live chat link. We'll be back in just a moment with your calls and more on the place where smart people get their news, the Tom Hartmann Program.
If you're looking for the ideal job, we have immediate openings for mystery shoppers. You get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies will pay you to be their eyes and ears. You'll tell them how you, a customer, are treated and how their prices compare. Full or part-time, as a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be able to read and write, be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. For a small fee, mystery shoppers Uplink gives you your training and your secret assignments. All you need to do is shop. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-889-6993 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-889-6993. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-889-6993. Offer not available in Nevada.
A growing number of cities are striving to become more sustainable, cutting pollution and saving energy and taxpayer dollars. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you've tried to make your home more energy efficient, you know it can be a big task. Imagine trying to do it for a medium-sized city. Madison, Wisconsin Mayor David Chislevich says you break it down into manageable pieces.
You pick off the easy stuff first, and lighting tends to be the thing that you can do right off the bat and save a lot of money real quick. One of the first things I did when I got elected was put in compact fluorescents in my own office.
Chislevich says all city offices are gradually changing over to compact fluorescent bulbs, which use a third of the energy of incandescents. Madison is also retrofitting its buildings to be more energy efficient, installing more insulation, sealing leaks, and replacing drafty windows and doors. Chislevich says these actions pay for themselves.
And then let's take the low-hanging fruit first, things that will pay back in just a couple of years. Let's do that first, and then realize those savings, and even take those savings and pump them back into more energy efficiency projects.
Chislevich has more ambitious long-range plans, including converting the city's buses to diesel-electric hybrid engines. All new municipal structures will have to earn an environmental certification from the U.S. Green Building Council, and the mayor wants Madison to get an increasing share of its electricity from renewable sources, 10% by later this year and 20% by 2010.
No, we're not on target, but I think sometimes it's important to establish ambitious goals. I would rather fall short of an ambitious goal than reach a modest goal. And we knew we were stretching to get there.
Chislevich says the city's falling short of the renewable energy goal only because area utilities don't yet have enough to sell. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
What about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer, and save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And it's gone. Gone, going, gone. Everything gone. Give a damn. Gone be the birds when they don't want to sing. Gone people. Awkward with their things. Gone.
And welcome back, my friends. 9.5 minutes before the hour of the Tom Hartman Radio Program. The radio support group of, by, and for We the People. The United States of America. Time for a...
Just a push of a button.
Voting machine alerts.
Just a touch of a screen. Welcome to the future. Come try our voting machine.
It's made its way to USA Today. Can the rest of the media be far behind? Problems using voting machines in the Texas and Illinois primaries this month have reinforced fears that the 2006 elections may be beset with glitches. Well, okay, the media are a bunch of wusses. But Texas, a candidate for state Supreme Court, is going to contest the March 7th primary because of what he calls widespread problems using new machines. It's interesting how hard, apparently. I mean, I know the actual stories behind these stories. Chicago, Cook County encountered problems, and how hard they had to work, Jim Drinkard in USA Today, to not use the F word, fraud, which is being alleged by a number of people in these situations, and or rigged or hacked or any of those words that don't exist. But at least there's a discussion. It's beginning. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Chris in Olympia, Washington. Hey, Chris, what's on your mind today?
I just want to say that, you know, progressive radio and whatnot, it's like we all stand behind this Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party is the enemy of this country. I feel just as much as the Republican Party is the enemy because they're bootlickers.
Well, here's the problem, Chris. The Democratic Party does not speak for all Democrats. The Republican Party actually has a fairly high level of coherence to it. But you ever hear the old Will Rogers joke? Will Rogers says, I'm not a member of an organized political party. I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, I understand. I can't stand behind the Clintons. I can't stand behind them. I just see it, you know, back when Al Gore was being elected, it was like a movement came out that said, you know what, we're Democrats. We're not like the Clintons. We're not like them. We're in opposition. Unfortunately, we went for Nader and whatnot. But now that Bush is in power, it's the rule of the tyrant, divide and conquer.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And the solution is, you know, what the Republicans want you and me to be saying on the radio and everywhere else is, oh, the Democratic Party, they're the problem. Screw the Democratic Party. To hell with them. We don't need them. Blah, 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 blah. And in fact, what the Republicans are most afraid of is that people like you and me will look at the Democratic Party and say, you know, there's a few people in this party who really shouldn't be in this party. There's a few people in this party who are selling our nation out and who are certainly selling the party out. And maybe we should get involved. Maybe we should show up at the local county meetings. Maybe we should participate at the state level. Maybe we should get involved in the Democratic Party and take it back. That's the thing they are most afraid of, Chris.
I agree that the Democratic Party is an opportunity for people to really step in and take control of it. But I think we need to go in with eyes wide open and realize that those that get the money and those that get elected out of the Democratic Party are sponsored by the tyrants of this world as much as the Republicans.
Yeah, not always, but very often, yes. And that's a function not of the Democratic Party itself, and thank you for the call, Chris, but of the fact that we have an election system that's broken. And one of the things that broke it the worst was the Supreme Court back in the 1970s and 1980s, the 1980s, ruling that corporations are persons and that money is equal to free speech, and we've got to change that. We need to go to a voter-owned election system, like many communities have. Portland, Oregon, for example, has a voter-owned election system. Alan in Lincoln, is that Alabama, Alan?
That's correct, Alabama.
Hey, Alan, what's up?
The last few years I've been seeing more and more billboards on the interstates trying to, I guess you could say, convert me to Christianity or against abortion. And I was wondering if that could be paid for by faith-based initiative, and my tax dollars going to convert me?
Not directly. The way it works is that a lot of these organizations have divisions or associated agencies, or they're part of an organization that, or they're associated with a church that is getting faith-based dollars. Over a billion dollars was transferred from the federal treasury to churches and nonprofit organizations affiliated with them last year by the Bushies. But none of those dollars, to the best of my knowledge, I mean, it would be illegal, were used to put up those specific billboards. But those same organizations can now use all of their fundraising money to put up billboards, whereas before they had used some of their fundraising money to run their operations, which are now being paid for by the federal government. So the effect is the same.
Okay.
So, yeah, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but, you know, that's how corrupt it is. Alan, thanks a lot for the call. Michael in Duluth, Minnesota. Hey, Michael.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up?
Well, first, I'd like to say that I identify myself as a liberal, or as a Democrat, in as that I value their ideology on social programs and what have you, but it stops there. And earlier you had a caller who talked about Republicans being bad and whatnot, and you said of course, and of course some Democrats, and I appreciated that you did offer that disclaimer, but here's my point. I believe that the reason that the Democrats and the liberals, the people who have the platform, who have the towers to scream from, The reason they aren't doing so is because we are in an era of McCarthyism. We're back in an era of Hoover. And I believe that our leaders, our Democrat and liberal leaders have their hands in the cookie jar as well. And they don't want to bring too much attention to the cookie jar.
Yeah, to a certain extent, Michael, I agree with you. I think that there are people, the problem is that we have a political system in the United States where you have to buy in, you got to pay to play, you got to essentially sell your soul to be a participant. And it's not good, it's not healthy for democracy, it's not good for the United States. And that needs to be fixed, and it's not going to be fixed by the current crowd, I can tell you that. And this is one of the reasons why the Green Party is doing such great work all across the United States at the local level. Bringing instant runoff voting, for example, and other progressive reforms, local voter-owned elections. It's happened now in Arizona and in Maine. The voters own their own elections, public financing for elections, and it works. And real average people can get involved in politics. We need that at a federal level.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Homeland Security under the Bush administration found to be wanting in another area. Congressional investigators have found serious flaws in the nation's cargo security measures. Agents from Congress's investigative wing, the GAO, crossed U.S. borders in Texas and Washington with enough nuclear material to make two small dirty bombs after giving customs agents fake documents. And that's got Michigan's Democratic Senator Carl Levin upset.
The ease with which the GAO was able to move these materials into the United States should be an alarming wake-up call.
Even a Republican, Norm Coleman of Minnesota, is dismayed.
4.5 years after September 11th, less than 40% of our seaports have basic radiation detection equipment. This is a massive blind spot.
Staff shakeup at the White House. Chief of Staff Andy Card is leaving, being replaced by Budget Director Joshua Bolton. President Bush announcing that this morning amid growing Republican concern about Bush's tumbling poll ratings. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat from New York, said the good news is the administration has finally realized it needs to change its ways. But, said Schumer, the problems go far deeper than one staffer. In Iraq today, three groups of gunmen kidnapped 24 Iraqis from businesses in Baghdad. while a car bomb exploded south of the Capitol as police exchanged fire with two suicide bombers at a police station, wounding a dozen people. Students are marching in the streets in the U.S. and France, but for different reasons. In Los Angeles, high school students walked out of classes again today to demonstrate their opposition to immigration reforms proposed in Congress. And some of those Los Angeles high school students were being arrested today. In France, nationwide strikes disrupted airline, train, and bus service, closed down the Eiffel Tower, and sent hundreds of thousands of protesters into the streets as unions joined in solidarity with students there angered by a new labor law that makes it easier for employers to fire young hires in the first 2 years of their hiring. And Caspar Weinberger, known as the consummate Cold Warrior, has died at 88. He was Reagan's White House defense secretary. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Hello, and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hey, Orkin Man. I think termites are destroying my kid's wood swing set.
Oh, that's not good. What makes you think it's termites?
I don't know. The swings are lower.
But are you sure your kids aren't just taller?
Even the baby's got skin knees.
Oh.
Not my house could be next.
Could be. Those little foragers can travel over 100 feet.
Duh, it's only 30 to the house.
Don't worry. One of our experts can treat these and help prevent more in the future.
Thanks, Orkin Guy.
Man.
Man.
For a free inspection, just call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 6.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Article by Scott Miller in today's Wall Street Journal. The Chinese are doing what we should be doing. It's incredible. When you're looking at China, this is not, of course, Scott Miller's conclusion. It's mine. His report, the EU, the European Union, may start a World Trade Organization case on China's auto tariff. And the U.S. is thinking about jumping in on this thing. Here's how it works. If China wants to manufacture a car and import it into the United States right now, they pay a 2% import tax, a 2% tariff. But if we want to manufacture a car, if General Motors wants to manufacture a car and export it into China, they have to pay a 28% tariff. Not only that, if parts are shipped into China, car parts, keep in mind Delphi, you know, the company that is like bankrupt, car parts manufacturer, they're going bankrupt because they're having a hard time competing with cheap car parts coming in from China. If you import car parts into China that make up more than 60% of the value of the car, those parts are also subject to a 28% tariff. And what China's doing is they're playing with the rules to basically say anybody who's importing car parts has to pay a 28% tariff. Now, why are they doing this? To protect their domestic markets, to protect their workers, to protect their industry. Why don't we do it? Because we've been sold down the river by Reagan, by Bush, by Clinton, and by Bush, and their friends and their enablers. Just that simple. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number, Jeff in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hi, you just had a caller call about complaining about the Democratic Party.
Yes, sir.
And as you well know, I've been more involved with things, and we just had our caucuses here. And it was interesting, some caucuses, there's only one person who showed up.
Now, explain to our listeners what a caucus is.
Caucus is where precincts get together. You know,
what's a precinct?
Precinct is a local voting district, you know, usually is about 500 to 1,000 voters, something like that.
Okay, so it's basically a neighborhood.
Yeah.
People
in our, you know, all over the state, you have caucuses. You know, if you don't have a primary system, caucus is usually the alternative. And so we gather together officially and decide on who the candidates are, party resolutions. Well, in some cases, only one person showed up, so they could decide any resolution or candidate they wanted to.
Wow.
And that gets passed on the county assembly, which goes to the state assembly. I decided beforehand, after having been to caucus before, to do a bunch of resolutions myself and send out to about 50 friends, and then they sent them further on. So I don't know, you know, a lot of people got my resolutions. I took them to the caucus, and we had about 20 people. And out of the 10 resolutions we passed, 6 were mine.
Wow, that's great, Jeff. Congratulations.
Yeah. And they passed with clear majorities or, in some cases, unanimously. And these were things that the parties should know, the party leadership should know about. One of them was, the condemnation of the party leadership itself.
Wow.
That was almost unanimous. Commendation for Howard Dean. Impeachment was almost unanimous. Election reform requiring paper ballots is almost unanimous. Don't attack Iran. Iran was also passed like that. And independent investigations on 9/11 and other things.
Wow.
And now the thing is that then, you know, most people don't want to go to the county assembly, so it's really easy to be a delegate to that. So if many of us are going to the county assembly, then we'll be going out to the state. So at least we will set these platforms.
Yeah.
Also in our state, we have Be the Change and Progressive Democrats of Colorado as well as other groups.
Mm-hmm.
Democracy for America, and they're changing the Democratic Party. We have a new party chairman last year after the quote election of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And things have really been changing. It's been easy. Mostly the reason the Democratic leadership is the way it is because nobody else has done anything about it.
There you go. And you've gotten involved and you're actually changing it. One person. Changing the state of Colorado. I'm impressed, Jeff.
The thing is, it's pathetic that it's so easy.
Yeah,
that's the thing is, and the
that's how this small right wing fringe crank bunch took over the Republican Party.
Yeah, we're all waiting for somebody else to do it. We complain to each other, but we just don't go out and do anything. And the thing is, again, it's pathetically easy. Just do it.
Yeah, there you go. Well said, Jeff. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for your service to our country.
We'll see if they listen. That's the thing is, we've got to deal with it. There's also the thing that we're dealing with. There's the illusion of participation. that the upper echelon then forgets about us once we contribute, then they forget about the platform. But we have to work our way up.
That's my point, yeah. If enough of you stay involved in the process, you become the upper echelon.
Exactly.
So, good on you. Okay, thanks a lot, Jeff. Good to hear from you. Gary in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Gary, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I listen to your program all the time. I really love it.
Well, thank you. I hope you support our sponsors.
I should, actually. Basically, what I wanted to say was, you know, I think the corporations have a huge hand in our government. And basically, what I don't really understand, I've never really heard this addressed, is if corporations are considered people under the law and they have the rights of a person and they can own businesses and everything, but since a corporation can own another corporation,
isn't that
like a person owning another person? And
right. Shouldn't
that be, like, illegal?
Yeah, actually, at one time in the United States, it was illegal in almost all states. Corporations could only be chartered for an individual single purpose, and they could not be owned by other corporations. Those laws went by the wayside after the Civil War.
Right, I understand, but still, that still doesn't apply. Like people owning people, if a corporation's a person.
Right. What you're pointing out, Gary, is the essential absurdity of corporate personhood.
Yeah.
The essential legal absurdity. By the way, you're in Seattle. Carl Mayer is going to be up there tomorrow. He's going to be speaking. In fact, I think we're going to have him on this program tomorrow. And he's just one of the real geniuses in the area of corporate personhood and all that kind of thing. And this is, by the way, this is the Federalist Society is big on this. They're big into promoting corporate personhood and, you know, the rights of corporations as persons and all this kind of thing. And it's nuts, this doctrine that evolved in 1886. It first came forward and first was presented before the Supreme Court in a way that it is believed, even though it never happened actually, that this it is believed because it was in a clerk's headnote that the Supreme Court ruled that corporations are persons. And since then, we've had the court rule on a number of occasions, referring back to that headnote in 1886, that corporations are persons, and given corporations privacy rights and Fifth Amendment rights and rights against double jeopardy and you know, just a whole set of free speech rights and on it goes. And there's it's nuts. I mean, a corporation is not a person.
That's what I say.
Yeah, the founders did not say, we the people and the corporations of the United States of America. They said, we the people. It's nuts.
Yeah, Gary, I think it's nuts, absolutely.
Yeah, Gary, thanks for the call and for bringing it up. It's a good point. Let me just share with you very quickly a law. This is an old Wisconsin statute, but this virtually identical language was on the books in every state in the Union at various times in the history of this country. This is a Wisconsin law. Let's see here. Political contributions by corporations. No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute or offer, consent, or agree to pay or contribute directly or indirectly any money, property, free speech of its officers or employees, or thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual for any political purpose whatsoever, or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind, or to promote or defeat the candidacy of any person for nomination, appointment, or election to any political office. Penalty. Any officer, employee, agent, or attorney, or other representative of any corporation acting for or on behalf of such corporation who shall violate this act shall be punished upon conviction by a fine of not less than $100 nor more than $5,000, or by imprisonment in state prison for a period of not less than one nor more than 5 years, or by both such fine and imprisonment in the discretion of the court or judge before whom such conviction is had. And if a corporation shall be subject to a penalty, then by forfeiture in double the amount of any fine, and if a domestic corporation, it shall be dissolved. This is the death penalty. If after a proper proceeding upon quo warranto and either the court or Supreme Court of the state prosecuted by the Attorney General of the state, the court shall find and give judgment that Section 1 of this act has been violated as charged, and if a foreign or non-resident corporation, in other words, an out-of-state corporation, they're referred to as foreign corporations. It doesn't mean out of the United States, just from a different state. And if a foreign or non-resident corporation, its right to do business in this state may be declared forfeit. Pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward. By the way, it's from my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights, which tells the whole story of the emergence of corporate personhood. Not to pitch the book, but there's, you know, that and Ted Nace's book, The Gangs of America, probably the only two books out there on the topic. Well, actually, Poklad has an excellent, a number of publications, a program on corporations, law, and democracy, POCLAD.org, their website as well, for more information. And ReclaimDemocracy.org, Jeff Milchen's organization, has some great information. Check that out, ReclaimDemocracy.org as well. 16 minutes past the hour is the Tom Hartman radio program, the place where progressives fiendishly plot for total world domination.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Orrick XL risk-free for 30 days.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now, I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies. So I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
When I look at today's Congress, I think of the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion, and the Wizard of Oz. No heart, no brain, and no courage. This bunch has cravenly caved in to the Bush-Cheney regime's power grab to impose an imperial presidency on the U.S. For example, when it was revealed last December that Bush was not merely a lawbreaker, but had repeatedly flaunted the law for 4 years by issuing secret and illegal orders to spy on the American people, what did Congress do? At first, there was much huffing and puffing, indignantly demanding a deep investigation into the criminality of the secret snooping. But then, Pat Roberts, the pathetically weak-kneed chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, abruptly canceled plans for a Senate investigation and ran to the White House waving a surrender hanky. He came out beaming, comically claiming that he had negotiated a deal with Dick Buckshot Cheney. Roberts said that in exchange for the Senate giving up its crucial investigative function, Cheney graciously agreed to give the Senate an oversight role in Bush's illegal spy program. Wow, way to go, Pat! But wait, specifically, what did he get? Well, a new subcommittee. This 7-member panel is to get occasional reports from the White House on the secret snooping. Hello, Pat. Your full committee is already supposed to be getting such reports and using the information to stop any illegal executive actions. Here's a president who has flagrantly committed a serious felony, punishable by a 5-year prison term. Yet, rather than hold Bush accountable, the Senate agrees to set up a superfluous subcommittee to watch him continue breaking the law. This is Jim Hightower saying, luckily there is one senator with a heart, brains, and courage, Russ Feingold. To learn more about his effort to censure Bush, call 202-224-5323.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Papa hit him, mama kissed him, made him go to catechism. With his sisters in their black and white. And all the time the city street, teaching him another kind of wisdom. When to run, when to fight.
And welcome back, my friends. Yes. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Andy Card resigns. White House Chief of Staff, replaced by Josh Bolton. No relation, as far as I can tell, to John Bolton. In fact, I think their last names are spelled differently. It's E-N and O-N, I believe. In any case, Josh Bolton, what does Josh Bolton have to recommend him for this job? Well, actually, over a 34-month period, he really has set a record of sorts. Over a 34-month period, he supervised the federal budget, and we ran up a $1.8 trillion debt. Now, that's larger than the debt of every president from George Washington till Jimmy Carter combined. And this guy did it in 34 months. It took the United States of America over 200 years to, well, nearly 200 years to do something close to that. And he did it in 34 months. So, you know, that's the kind of incompetence that Republicans just love. And so Bush has put this guy into his number two position there as chief of staff. Richard Miller is with us at the Talk Radio News Service. Hey, Richard.
How you doing?
Just great. What's on your news screen today?
Well, other than my recently concluded trip to Iraq, we've got Card's resignation, Weinberger's passing, and then the continuing brouhaha over immigration.
All right. Weinberger oversaw the New York Times headline today, or the caption or his photo, that he oversaw the largest increase in defense spending in the history of the United States.
Well, that's right. Much of the buildup under the Reagan administration was under his tenure.
And actually, my recollection, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I was paying attention at the time. My recollection is over $1 trillion of that, which is $1,000 billion, went to Star Wars, and most all of that went to people who were companies that were politically connected to Reagan, helped put him into office, and we still have no results from it.
Well, as they say, the past is prologue, isn't it?
Yes.
I will tell you, when I was in Iraq, it was very interesting because, I don't mean to get a little vulgar here, but I paid a good deal of attention to the graffiti that was written on the inside of the porta-johns that basically pass for what taking care of nature's calls out here.
Right, one of the few places where soldiers can actually speak out and not and know that they're not being monitored by a camera or, you know, observed by senior officers.
Absolutely, and I won't repeat everything that I saw, one of the things that I saw in several places, KBR equals Keep Bush Rich.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the reason for that, of course, was that KBR they run everything at the forward operating bases. They also run the cafeteria.
Right. KBR, for our listeners who don't know, is
Kellogg,
the acronym for
Kellogg Brown and Root, a wholly owned subsidiary of Halliburton.
Right, except that Kellogg Brown and Root was reincorporated offshore so that with all these defense contracts, they would not have to pay any income taxes to the United States government on the money that they make.
Well, I've learned something new today, Tom.
Well, that was, you know, when John Kerry said I voted for the $87 billion before I voted against it.
Yes.
The original defense appropriation bill had a rider in it that Kerry had put in there, which said that no money that was being spent in Iraq could go to corporations, American corporations that had reincorporated offshore in order to avoid paying American taxes. In other words, if a corporation is going to be profitable, particularly with a no-bid contract where they're profitable plus they're guaranteed a profit, if they're going to be profitable with U.S. taxpayer dollars, they're going to pay income taxes on that profit. You know, now some argue, hey, you know, why not just take the profit out, take and reduce the payments? Well, you could make that same argument about Social Security, but we digress. So in any case, Kerry voted that way, and the Republicans shot it down. They wouldn't have it because Kellogg Brown and Root had reincorporated in either the Bahamas or the Cayman Islands, I forget which, so that they wouldn't have to pay federal income taxes. And so the Republicans then pushed through a bill that specifically said that the money could go to corporations that had reincorporated offshore so they wouldn't have to pay federal taxes, and that's the one Kerry voted against. And his whole point of voting against it was to vote against that specific provision of it.
Kerry's only error was being quoted as saying, "I voted for it before I voted against it."
Right. And he did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but he did vote for it before he voted against it. And in both cases, his vote, the thing that spun his vote in one direction or the other, was the fact that KBR was not going to have to pay income taxes on that money.
Well, KBR, it looks like, dodged that bullet, and thus far is doing quite well in Iraq.
Yeah. So how's Andy Card's? We have less than a minute left here, Richard Miller. How's Andy Card's resignation flying in Washington?
Well, let me give you an insight you're not liable to hear elsewhere. I happen to be in Massachusetts today, and one of the things that is being talked about heavily here is that Card may be considering running for governor of the Commonwealth. You know, we haven't had a Democratic governor since Dukakis here. And the long and short of it is that we've got very weak slates on both sides of the aisle being offered for governor in the Bay State. So it's possible that Card may have timed this resignation.
Oh, interesting.
To make a run for the state house here. He's very popular in Massachusetts.
He's a native of Massachusetts?
He is a native of Massachusetts, served in the state legislature, and he's got quite a constituency here.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, you know, he certainly did a good job as a loyal friend for George W. Bush.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, Richard Miller with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Richard, thank you for the update today.
My pleasure.
Good to hear from you. And we will continue with your phone calls and more. 866-440-8466. The ongoing dispute about illegal immigration spilling over into our schools again and in our cities in just a moment.
This is Vasilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
The latest technology in headache medicine isn't an ingredient. It's a whole. Extra strength Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. The only pain reliever designed with laser drilled holes to release medicine. Holes that get the medicine out of the pill and into your body faster than ever before. Stop. Think. Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. Take only as directed.
Do you get frequent headaches, have difficulty concentrating, or trouble sleeping? If you answered yes to one or more of these questions, then you're among the millions of people who are suffering the symptoms of stress. But take heart. Managing stress properly can help you to be more productive and happy. So here are some helpful hints to get you on the path to wellness. Exercise is one of the best ways to relax. It clears your head and makes you feel better physically. And take a moment to prioritize your to-do list. You'll actually get more done and feel better while you're doing it. Keep listening for other stress-reducing information brought to you by Tylenol PM.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The Newspaper Guild says it hasn't received the financial information it needs in an attempt to bid on 12 Knight Ridder newspapers being sold off by McClatchy, the company that acquired 32 daily newspapers for $4.5 billion. The Guild says competitors who originally bid on all 32 papers have information that parties interested in just the 12 papers have not yet received. Eight of the papers being bid on are represented by the Guild.
Students at hundreds of universities are kicking off a National Student Labor Week of Action in solidarity with workers. Eddie Morales is president of the U.S. Student Association.
We're going to be showing films, hosting rally, and actions targeting administrators. Students hope to help workers win concrete victories in their efforts to secure fair wages, benefits, and to form and join unions.
More and more, Morales says, corporations and corporate money are dominating universities. Students, Morales says, are awakening now to the struggles of workers and the need to join those struggles.
Since I've started to realize that the standards that they set of living for workers on their campuses directly affects their ability to get the most out of their college experience, and then let alone support an individual's wants for dignity and, you know, the ability to work in a climate that values their presence. And I think that is a philosophical argument that most students get behind.
The National Student Labor Week of Action is co-sponsored by Jobs with Justice, the U.S. Student Association, and a national network of community labor coalitions.
The Canadian Auto Workers Leadership is pushing to pull the union support from that country's new Democratic Party. The CAW is Canada's largest private sector union, and the leadership is seeking to reaffirm a position of independent politics with no ties to one party. Part of the decision comes from the Ontario NDP kicking CAW President Buzz Hargrove out of the party because he advocated strategic voting. For example, in situations where it seemed the NDP had little chance of winning during January's election, he suggested support should be put behind Liberal candidates. Hargrove, who has been a member of the NDP for more than 40 years, says it's time for Canadian labor to hold all government accountable, no matter which party is in power.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit, amounting to an overall $720 billion imbalance, equivalent to more than 6% of total U.S. goods and services. As the aerospace industry flexes its muscle, it not only bolsters its business, but the entire economy.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The sun used to make our outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable, we couldn't use it. But then we discovered the Sunsetter retractable awning.
And what about the discount, Jim?
Our Sunsetter retractable awning is built to last. It opens and closes in just 60 seconds. It keeps our deck about 20 degrees cooler.
What about the discount, Jim?
It provides instant shade and protection from the sun.
Yeah, but what about the discount, Jim?
And our Sunsetter costs less than $600.
Come on, Jim.
All right. Well, now you can call and get a special $200 discount certificate, so your Sunsetter can cost as little as $398.
Ha! Finally, Jim.
Just call now, and Sunsetter will rush you this $200 discount certificate, along with a free DVD that tells you the whole Sunsetter story. Enjoy your deck or patio more this summer. And save with a Sunsetter retractable awning.
Call 1-800-322-0419 for your free Sunsetter DVD and $200 discount certificate. Call 1-800-322-0419. 1-800-322-0419.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
I am a patriot, and I love my country, because my country is all I know. I want to be with my family, people who understand me. I have got nowhere else to go.
And welcome back, my friends. 25 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Over at Think Progress, a poll they're reporting on. This is interesting. I'm trying to find the source of this poll. I guess it's a Think Progress poll. As the Senate takes up debate on immigration reform and the right wing steps up its inflammatory rhetoric, a new poll released today finds that about two-thirds of legal immigrants in the United States believe anti-immigrant sentiment growing and fueled by racism. I would suggest that they're probably right. Probably about, you know, keeping in mind that they're talking about immigrants. And there is massive in the United States, particularly since 9/11, massive demagoguery around the issue of immigrants, people who have immigrated to the United States, and Muslim immigrants to this country in particular, African immigrants to the United States, facing significant racism. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's even starting to affect Asian. Well, even starting to. I mean, back in the 1800s, there was a law passed to prevent Asians from immigrating to the United States. Anti-Asian racism has been around forever. Additionally, according to this Think Progress poll, 68% of the respondents favored the McCain-Kennedy immigration bill, 19% favored Bush's temporary worker proposal, and only 8% favored the House's enforcement-only bill. Fascinating. I'm telling you, I increasingly I am convinced progressives have forgotten the history of the labor movement in the United States. They just don't get it. One of the replies to this is the blog over on thinkprogress.org, and one of the replies, it was posted today by a guy named John, and he says, as a Latino Democrat, I resent being represented by so-called leaders in the community and pandering politicians. While I can appreciate the passion of those demonstrating against the immigration bill passed by the House, I believe their passion is misplaced. A group of possibly illegal and other legal immigrants were shown in today's front page of the Post waving Mexican flags. It would seem to me that if these demonstrators are truly in search of the American dream, they should be waving American flags instead. He says, as a Latino who emigrated from Venezuela, I have no sympathy for those who crossed the border illegally to work in our country. See, I too was poor and desperate to find the American dream. I came to the U.S. as a student, and because of my academic achievements, received scholarships. I graduated as an engineer, and then a small company that saw my potential sponsored me and helped me obtain an H-1 visa, which took 2 years, then a green card, which took 9 months. 5 years to the day I received my green card, I became a U.S. citizen. 2 years later, I obtained my security clearance, and now I work for the Department of Defense supporting our military. I didn't need to illegally come into this country. I just had to patiently wait my turn all 7 years worth to achieve my dream of becoming an American. He says, I don't begrudge the desire to improve one's lot, but doing it illegally and cutting ahead in the line of those who wish to come here legally is neither right nor fair. He says, the real target, this is over, you know, a post on the Progressive blog, the real target of Congress's lawmaking ought to be the hordes of companies that hire these folks, illegally paying them substandard wages, and then claiming they can't afford to hire Americans or that Americans are too lazy to take these jobs. Apparently he's in North Virginia. He says, in the case of North Virginia, nothing could be further from the truth. With inflated real estate prices, profits from construction sales are at an all-time high. What is really at stake is whether builders are willing to cut their profit margins from astronomical to reasonable by hiring Americans to do the contractor jobs. What is at play is pure, unadulterated greed, and Congress should stand up for defending American workers' rights and stop exploiting illegal aliens for the benefit of a few companies that aren't willing themselves to play by the rules. This guy gets it. I mean, he's been there. He says, in light of the recent Abramoff pay-for-pork scandal, it would be enlightening for the public to know how much the real estate, restaurant, and agriculture lobbies paid in contributions to members of Congress and compare their voting records. As a Latino and a Democrat, I do not support amnesty for illegal aliens, nor incentives for them to become legalized by having them just pay a fine and back taxes, essentially a slap on the wrist for violating our laws. What message would that send to the millions of immigrants who are itching to cross the Rio Grande, come to America illegally? The worst that can happen is that you just have to pay a fine. I couldn't have said it better. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Sean in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Hey, Tom. Haven't talked to you for a while.
Indeed. I hope you're well.
Yes. Doing much better. Thank you. How's your dad?
He's still alive.
Oh, okay. I guess that's good.
It is. Every day is a gift.
Hey, I'd like to bring up that, one thing that I don't get is that it's not just Latinos, but a lot of immigrants come up here and take advantage of our liberal social programs, and then they vote Republican. They're killing...
They don't vote, Sean. I mean, what you're missing is that illegal immigrants can't vote in the United States.
No, but I'm not just talking about illegal immigrants. I'm talking about immigrants in general.
Well, I would say that if you looked at the users of our, what you call liberal social welfare program, I'd say it's actually conservative compared to most of the rest of the world, but it is liberal compared to Mexico. If you look at our social welfare program, the users of it, by and large, are not immigrants. It's actually very difficult to become a legal immigrant into the United States. And I don't have statistics to offer you, but, you know, my guess would be that the percentage of people who are legal immigrants using the social welfare system is probably lower as a percentage than American citizens using the American social welfare system.
But all those people that were protesting Los Angeles and everything. But what I want to know is, where are they when it comes to other things and not just immigration? Where were those 500,000 people when the war was going on or when our elections were stolen?
Yeah, well, if they're illegal immigrants, then they don't vote, and so, you know, they don't much care about the elections being stolen. And you know, I don't want to broad brush characterize them or even slap at them. I mean, I think the reality is that what happened, Sean, is a phenomenon, and it had to do with Hispanic radio. And the LA Times has a great article about this today online. You can find it over at latimes.com. And talking about how all these DJs, these various competing disc jockeys in Hispanic radio, Spanish language radio, music radio, started calling for people to come out onto the streets. And they were expecting maybe 20,000 people to show up, and 500,000 showed up. And it's a statement, a testimonial to the power of radio and the power of you know, the DJs and, you know, getting people involved. But, you know, I think that we run the risk of overestimating the political power of folks simply because a lot of people came out into the streets. Now, I realize that that's what the Republicans were saying about those of us in the peace movement prior to the invasion of Iraq. But nonetheless, a demonstration does not necessarily a political movement make, Sean.
But not all 500,000 of those people were illegal immigrants, though. A lot of them were legal. And I just want them to care about a little bit more than just the immigration issue.
Well, this is an issue that is really splitting. Yeah, I agree. This is an issue that is really splitting the legal immigrant community. And because there are legal immigrants in this country who have illegal friends and relatives who have come over, and they're trying to look out for them. And so that's a tough one. But you go back to the 60s and 70s and look at Cesar Chavez, the founder and first president of the United Farm Workers Union. He was outspoken against illegal immigration. The United Farm Workers Union, the UFW, used to turn in illegal immigrants all the time. I mean, they were like big into this. Why? Because they saw these folks coming in as chopping away at their income. They weren't hurting the incomes of the CEOs or the farm owners or anything like this. They were hurting the income of the farm workers. And they saw them as competition, frankly, didn't like it. And so I think that the immigrant community in the United States is split right now, and you're only hearing a part of them very loud.
We've got a lot of legal Latinos here in Indiana now that we didn't have here 10 or even 15 years ago. And they own stores and everything now.
Sure.
You know, they work.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, this isn't an issue of race, Sean. I mean, you know, people were saying the same thing about Italians and Irish, you know, 100 years ago. It's not an issue of race. It's a matter. But one of the reasons, by the way, why you're seeing this large expansion is because these are the children of the last generation's illegal immigrants, many of them, or the grandchildren of illegal immigrants from before that. But at some point, a nation has to say, wait a minute, are we going to continue to support a corrupt autocracy or an oligarchy, essentially, in Mexico? And are we going to continue to support Vicente Fox, you know, a corrupt president of Mexico? Or are we going to say, you know, enough is enough? That's it. Mike in Seattle, we just have a few seconds left before we got to take a break, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi there, Tom. Like your show. I used to be a Big Ed fan, but now I'm a Tom fan.
Well, thank you, Mike.
I'm calling from Seattle. As you can probably tell from my accent, I'm an immigrant. I'm a legal immigrant, something of a rare breed these days. And I didn't come here for financial reasons. I took a heavy pay cut to come to America.
Yeah.
And I have to watch what I do. I have to watch what I say. I can't get in trouble. There was a time when I couldn't travel because I was going through the green card application.
Let me ask you to hold on for just a second. Let me pick you up on the other side of this break, okay? We have the tyranny of the clock here. The music starts, and I got to stop. And so I'm going to put you back on hold. We'll come back with that. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the place where smart people get their news. We'll continue with this conversation right after this, 45 minutes past the hour.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
A growing number of cities are striving to become more sustainable, cutting pollution and saving energy and taxpayer dollars. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you've tried to make your home more energy efficient, you know it can be a big task. Imagine trying to do it for a medium-sized city. Madison, Wisconsin Mayor David Cieslewicz says you break it down into manageable pieces.
You pick off the easy stuff first, and lighting tends to be the thing that you can do right off the bat, and you save a lot of money real quick. One of the first things I did when I got elected was put in compact fluorescents in my own office.
Cieslewicz says all city offices are gradually changing over to compact fluorescent bulbs, which use a third of the energy of incandescents. Madison is also retrofitting its buildings to be more energy efficient, installing more insulation, sealing leaks, and replacing drafty windows and doors. Cieslewicz says these actions pay for themselves.
And then let's take the low-hanging fruit first, things that will pay back in just a couple of years. Let's do that first, and then realize those savings, and even take those savings and pump them back into more energy efficiency projects.
Cieslewicz has more ambitious long-range plans, including converting the city's buses to diesel-electric hybrid engines. All new municipal structures will have to earn an environmental certification from the U.S. Green Building Council, and the mayor wants Madison to get an increasing share of its electricity from renewable sources, 10% by later this year and 20% by 2010.
No, we're not on target, but I think sometimes it's important to establish ambitious goals. I would rather fall short of an ambitious goal than reach a modest goal. And we knew we were stretching to get there.
Cieslewicz says the city's falling short of the renewable energy goal only because area utilities don't yet have enough to sell. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've heard the saying, you get what you pay for, and it's true, especially when you're building. Terry Mosteller of Lumberton, Mississippi knows it for a fact. She called to report her General Steel building is still standing and looks as good as the day it was built. Even after Hurricane Katrina destroyed or severely damaged nearly every other building in town. We salute those who were affected by the recent hurricanes as they rebuild and take pride in knowing that our buildings stand up to the ultimate test. When it comes to your building project with General Steel, you do get what you pay for.
General Steel is offering rebates right now up to $20,000. Call now for details. 800-965-1295, 800-965-1295. Call 24/7 for your free General Steel quote. 800-965-1295, 800-965-1295.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, my friends. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Tom Hartman here with you 9.5 minutes before the hour. We were talking with Mike in Seattle. And you had established your credentials, Mike, as a legal immigrant.
Yep.
And where were you going from there?
What I was going to say is I see these illegal immigrants. I've sometimes met them and talked to them, and they have this sense of entitlement. And I just see law-breaking being rewarded. I mean, I've had to make sacrifices like you wouldn't believe. I could go on a bit about it. But, you know, I didn't come here for financial reasons. I've had to pay a heavy penalty to be with the woman I love. I waited 4 years to meet her, and she happened to live in Seattle. But we did the deal in the end, and I decided to move over to the U.S. It was a choice, you know, with which way we're going to go. I ended up over here.
Yeah.
And I just don't see why these legal immigrants have such a sense of entitlement when, as in your piece, they said they wrapped themselves in the Mexican flag.
Yeah.
You know, if I did that and that came up at my immigration interview when I was asking for citizenship, I could be told no.
Yeah, well, what you're seeing here, Mike, is the consequence of 25 years of conservative economic policies with a primary subtext of breaking the union movement in the United States, breaking the middle class in the United States. And the easiest and fastest way to break organized labor is to have a flood of labor that's willing to replace organized labor, that's willing to work cheaper. And they, you know, they did that by basically stopping enforcing laws against hiring illegal immigrants. They, for all practical purposes, you know, when the Clinton administration, the last year of the Clinton administration, and although Clinton wasn't always great at this either, but the last year of the Clinton administration, there were over $300 million in fines to corporations in the United States for hiring illegals.
Yeah.
The second year of the Bush administration, zero.
Yep.
Zero. And so, you know, surprise, surprise. Anyhow, Mike, thank you very much for calling and for sharing your story with us. I appreciate your perspective.
You're welcome. Keep up the good work, Mike.
Thank you. You too, sir. Alice in Humboldt County, California. Hey, Alice. Welcome.
Tom?
Yes. Hi, Alice.
Sometimes you talk of Reagan and Bush and Clinton, and you say that like they were all the same. I don't believe that you really think that. Bill Clinton may have been for business, but unlike the others, he was not against the poor and working people. He was certainly much different from this George Bush. And he left us financially in good shape.
Well, I have to respectfully disagree with you, Alice. I think he did leave us in financially in good shape, relatively speaking. He was good on the budget, although the Republicans like to take credit for that. They controlled Congress during much of that time. But Clinton's welfare reform, in my mind, kicked a lot of the slats out from underneath our social safety net, and his international trade policies are contributing in large part, in my mind, to the destruction of the middle class. So I just have to disagree with you, Alice. We can still be friends?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Always.
Well, thank you. God bless you. Thanks for calling, Alice. It's always nice to hear from you. You too. It's 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Howard in Olympic Peninsula, Washington. Hey, Howard.
Yeah, I was in the WTO demonstrations, and I was in the Memorial Stadium in Seattle with thousands of union workers from every trade. Thousands of us. The stands were full. We stood there for over an hour listening to speeches from people from all over the world. Not one Democrat came and talked to us.
Yeah.
When we marched downtown, a few agent provocateurs broke a few windows. Bill Clinton and McDermott, sitting together, Clinton wanted the fire department to turn the hoses on us, and the chief of police refused.
Good on him.
Now, I'm 72 years old. I've been working with the Democratic Party all my voting life, and I've been told all the time I got to vote for the lesser of two evils. Nobody tells Republicans to vote for lesser of two evils. They can vote as evil as they want. You know, and at this point, I feel like, you know, what Tom Lehrer used to say, I feel like a Christian scientist with appendicitis. I'm old enough now, I can't bring myself to pull the lever for Maria Cantwell again, who supported the war. At what point is this going to stop?
Well, I think it's going to stop, Howard, when enough of us like Jeff in Denver, Colorado, who called in earlier, start showing up at the Democratic Party meetings. I mean,
I used to do that, too, and I remember Scoop Jackson coming to a meeting once on Capitol Hill in Seattle. And saying what this is during the Vietnam War. What he wanted was loyalty oaths for teachers.
Yeah.
And at the same time, around the same time, I remember Mr. Politics of Joy, Hubert Humphrey, sitting with Daley, the Democratic convention, while the stormtroopers were beating everybody up outside.
Howard, I'm not here to defend the Democratic Party. What I'm telling you is, and I believe you know this, that unless and until enough of us get involved, the party is going to continue going on its merry way. Bill Clinton created the Democratic Leadership Council because they saw that Reagan's war against organized labor was working, and they couldn't get enough money from the unions anymore to get Democrats elected, so they got in bed with corporations. The only way that that's going to change is if enough of us get involved. We've got to take the party back.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no other, there is no other alternative that I know of. We have a two-party system in the United States, whether we like it or not. The reality is we have first-past-the-post, winner-take-all elections. We don't have proportional representation, and we don't yet have instant runoff voting across this country.
Yeah, well, as far as the Democratic Party goes, it's like Lenny Bruce used to say, be a man, sell out.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. Lynn in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Lynn, we have just a few seconds. Hey, Lynn, we have just a few seconds left. Not even that. Lynn, I'm going to ask you to hold on, and we'll pick it up in the next hour. It's because we got to wrap this thing up. It's this comment over on the Think Progress blog. I'm seeing now progressives and Democrats coming out and saying, well, let's just have a little amnesty. Let's just have a, and I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong to people who are legal immigrants to this country. I think it's wrong to the working people of this country. And frankly, I think it's wrong to the people who are left behind in the countries that illegal immigrants are coming from, who are having to deal with corrupt governments that are being propped up by our taking their citizens. It's wrong. 57 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. Call right now. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Karl Rove is still around, but Andy Card is a goner. President Bush announced the departure of his chief of staff today. Card will be replaced by Budget Director Joshua Bolten. Bush making this change despite having said just last week, I'm satisfied with the people I've surrounded myself with.
We've dealt with a lot. We've dealt with war. We've dealt with recession. We've dealt with scandal. We've dealt with Katrina. I mean, they had a lot on their plate, and I appreciate their performance and their hard work, and they've got my confidence.
That was President Bush last week. Today, Andrew Card put out to pasture. White House sources tell the Associated Press that the new Chief of Staff Joshua Bolten can be expected to make further staff changes. A recent AP Ipsos poll found that George Bush's job approval has dipped to 37%, his lowest rating in that poll. Brookings Institution Presidential Scholar Stephen Hess, who served in both the Nixon and Eisenhower administrations, says replacing Andy Card will not help Bush very much.
This is not going to improve his poll, the president's poll ratings. This is not going to create a new policy in Iraq.
And in Iraq, three groups of gunmen kidnapped 24 Iraqis from businesses in Baghdad on Tuesday. There was a massive kidnapping from another business in Baghdad yesterday as well. Also, a car bomb exploded south of the capital as police exchanged fire with two suicide bombers at a police station. A dozen people were wounded. A couple of key members of former President Ronald Reagan's staff have passed away. Caspar Weinberger, Secretary of Defense from 1982 through 1987, died today at age 88 in Maine. And Lynn Nofziger died yesterday at age 71 from cancer. Lynn Nofziger was Ronald Reagan's press secretary and close political advisor during his first term. General Motors Corporation announced today it is laying off hundreds of U.S. salaried workers as part of a plan to bring its North American operations back to profitability. A GM spokesperson, Robert Herta, said he couldn't give an exact figure, but he said the cuts involve fewer than 500 workers at 30 locations across the United States, including factories and engineering centers. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
Tired of waiting for insurance settlement money that's paid out little by little over years and years? Novation can help. Wouldn't it be great to get more of your money now?
I have settlement payments from a lawsuit.
Most of my payments were years away.
I really needed my money now.
If you could use cash now, instead of waiting years to collect your insurance settlement money, you need to call Novation at 800-485-1923. That's 800-485-1923.
Novation got me the cash I needed when I needed it.
Call us toll free at 800-485-1923. That's 800-485-1923.
Novation delivered.
Tired of waiting? Make the call. 800-485-1923. Get your money when you need it. Novation Capital, an Encore Financial Services company. 800-485-1923.
Thanks, Novation Capital.
Novation got me the cash I needed when I needed it.
Thanks, Novation.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends, to the third hour of our program, the Tom Hartman radio program. We are going to get into, in just a few minutes, the whole situation that's going on in France. It's really quite remarkable, the demonstrations that are happening there. And wow, my call screen software just vanished. Anyhow, we're gonna get back to that. And I've got to share with you the French labor law, the actual text of the law that people are rioting about. We'll do that in just a few minutes. First, however, our Bioneers segment for the week. Bioneers, founded in 1990, a nonprofit organization that promotes practical environmental solutions and innovative social strategies for restoring the earth and communities. Mark Finzer is the president and CEO of the Rudolf Steiner Foundation, headquartered in San Francisco with offices in New York and Boulder, Colorado. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Nice to be part of your program.
Well, glad to have you here with us. Rudolf Steiner was a real renaissance man. I mean, he was all over the place, from Waldorf schools to having Hitler chase him all across the planet. He ended up hiding out from him in Switzerland, as I recall.
That's right. My mother was actually at a Waldorf school when the Nazis closed it down.
Yeah, amazing. And Hitler was after him because he saw him as both a meme threat, you know, that Steiner could bring down the Nazi cult, and in a way as a religious threat, because Nazism really was a cult.
That's right.
It's interesting. But the Rudolf Steiner Foundation in San Francisco and New York and Boulder is doing something that is taking Steiner's ideas and going a step beyond, working with the financial sector and philanthropic work?
That's right. We've for 22 years now, we've been working in the social finance area and trying to bring much more awareness for individuals, either investors or donors, to be much more conscious how their money can move in connection with their values.
Mm-hmm.
And so we felt it was important to create innovative vehicles and to enable donors and investors to be able to practice that through specific programs. So we have a social investment program where individuals can put money with us and then know that it's working in social mission kind of projects.
Mm-hmm.
And those projects are far-ranging, you know, from more traditional nonprofits to also social venture-type for-profit businesses that are trying to do something through their product or their service.
We're talking with Mark Finzer. It's pronounced Finzer, right, Mark?
Yes, Finzer.
Yeah. RSFoundation.org is the website. President and CEO of the Rudolf Steiner Foundation. Mark, there's no shortage of socially responsible funds out there. You know, the Evergreen funds immediately come to mind. They're well marketed. However, in the investment field, very often you sit down with an investment advisor or somebody at a bank or whatever, stockbroker, and say, you know, I'd like to put my money into a socially responsible mutual fund. And they kind of give you that condescending smile like, oh, you know, one of those. You're really not interested in return, are you?
Right.
Are you folks finding that social responsibility and return on investment can be compatible?
Well, it depends what you mean by compatible. I think what we've seen is that you know, the socially responsible world in general can be, you know, a real landmine because it really is a very subjective thing. People really follow what their personal interests are. And for many years, we felt that people could take something positive and do something positive with their money and actually say, we want to make sure that there's a homeless shelter in Oakland, for example,
mm-hmm.
and that they could, in effect, have their money here and direct it so that we would finance an acquisition of a building for a homeless shelter. That is a positive step as opposed to saying, well, we want to screen out certain things within the public equity market. But overall, over the years, we've noticed that actually the positive and the negative can be a real good mix for for individuals.
So am I understanding this correctly, that if somebody invests money with you, say they give you $1 million or whatever it is, $100,000, and that you will invest that money in what you consider to be appropriate and reasonable investments, and you will use the return from that money to do socially responsible activities, so a person's not getting quite the return on their investment that they might have gotten, but there's now a homeless shelter in Oakland?
Well, it's actually more direct than that. So you or I can put, or even my children, for example, have put money here at RSF, and then that money is, in fact, loaned out to these projects like the homeless shelter.
Ah, who pay it back with interest, and thus you get your return on investment.
Now, you're not going to get the equivalent returns, let's say, as the public equity markets, but we maintain that it's actually more of a living return because it really reflects what the economy can afford. And so we track it according to the 13-week treasury bill rate. So our investors have received, for example, this quarter they're getting 3.48%, which is
right in line.
High rate, but it's like more like a money market return.
Yeah. And presumably a fairly safe one. I was amazed when I first, it was quite a few years ago now, but when I first discovered that micro-lending, third world micro-lending, had the highest rate of paid-back loans. There's a word for it, the banking industry, that is escaping me.
Yeah.
The highest rate of paid-back loans of all forms of banking.
Yeah, we actually have the same record. We've done over 80 million of these kinds of loans in the 22 years, and we virtually not had to take any money. First of all, our investors have not lost any money, and we haven't even had to take virtually no money. $4,000 is what we've had to take out of our loan loss reserve.
Wow.
So it's the same basis, which is it's relationship-based, where actually if all sides of the equation are interested in the common good so that our borrowers are actually very conscious where their money is coming from, we believe that has a transformative aspect on money itself and society. So it's been an amazing story because, in effect, money can be recycled this way.
Right.
So your investment at RSF or an individual's then can go out and then come back and then go out again, and you're actually having major impact over a long period of time. Now, our donors, we have donors through our philanthropic services. They also sometimes will use their funds for doing the same thing. But that's when money has actually been donated to us. So we have two types of vehicles, either money where it's been donated or where it's been loaned to us. And we think the loaning is the most innovative because people tend to think of foundations as just being grant makers.
Mm-hmm.
But we really like to lend the money out in the way I described.
So people, instead of investing with you, they loan to you, so they have a guaranteed rate of return as opposed to,
It's a fluctuating rate, so it changes quarterly depending on what the 13-week treasury.
No, but I mean with an investment, you can lose everything.
That's right.
With a loan, presumably you're at least going to get back your principal and some interest.
That's right. And, in fact, when the dot-com bubble burst out here, we had people saying, oh, my God, I wish I'd had more money with you.
Yeah.
Because I've seen my money disappear. I was chasing that 20% return.
Right.
Whereas I could have at least had more of a guaranteed 4 or 5% average return.
Remarkable. And other than going to rsfoundation.org and getting information.
It's actually rsfsocialfinance.org.
Uh-huh.
RSF Social Finance.
RSFSocialfinance.org. Thank you very much. I've got that on the screen here. And other than going to rsfsocialfinance.org and finding out how they can participate with you, I'm assuming that you also are holding yourselves up as role models. This is something that you can do or in your community or other organizations should do?
Exactly. And we actually sometimes play a leadership role with other finance organizations. In fact, as we speak, there's a conference call going on between a number of similar organizations looking at how we can support more public independent media and how we can create a fund to enable independent media to continue to survive and to thrive. So, that's a leadership role that we will often provide in encouraging others who may or may not be interested in taking a lead, participating with us in these kind of financing arrangements.
How did this thing start, Mark Finzer?
Well, actually, RSF was incorporated way back in 1936, but there were four of us back in 1984 that saw the unique charter that we had. It's a New York State charter that enabled us to do pretty interesting things. Initially, we were just supporting projects that were Rudolf Steiner-based. But as we see the worlds are all converging, and in many ways, Steiner may have been a forerunner. But people like yourselves, others, and pioneers, they're all doing very similar ideas that Steiner spoke about, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So we've expanded our work to enable individuals as well as projects to borrow from us. Because when they borrow from us, they're actually doing mission-related debt service.
Sure.
They don't realize that when they're paying their debt service to any institution, they're actually encouraging that institution to exist.
Right. We just have a few seconds left, Mark.
Sure.
Are you supporting Rudolf Steiner? Are you supporting Waldorf schools as well?
We finance primarily their physical acquisitions, so their buildings, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So not only independent schools, but also charter schools and other educational facilities.
That's great. Mark Finzer, he's the president and CEO of the Rudolf Steiner Foundation. Their website, RSF, Social Finance. .org. Mark, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Tom.
And for the great work you're doing. It's marvelous. 16 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman program. We'll be back with the French labor law right after this.
So let's say you go shopping and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs too. Well, you think, that would save you time. But then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
When I look at today's Congress, I think of the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion in the Wizard of Oz. No heart, no brain, and no courage. This bunch has cravenly caved in to the Bush-Cheney regime's power grab to impose an imperial presidency on the U.S. For example, when it was revealed last December that Bush was not merely a lawbreaker, but had repeatedly flaunted the law for 4 years by issuing secret and illegal orders to spy on the American people, what did Congress do? At first, there was much huffing and puffing, indignantly demanding a deep investigation into the criminality of the secret snooping. But then, Pat Roberts, the pathetically weak-kneed chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, abruptly canceled plans for a Senate investigation and ran to the White House waving a surrender hanky. He came out beaming, comically claiming that he had negotiated a deal with Dick Buckshot Cheney. Roberts said that in exchange for the Senate giving up its crucial investigative function, Cheney graciously agreed to give the Senate an oversight role in Bush's illegal spy program. Wow, way to go, Pat. But wait, specifically, what did he get? Well, a new subcommittee. This 7-member panel is to get occasional reports from the White House on the secret snooping. Hello, Pat. Your full committee is already supposed to be getting such reports and using the information to stop any illegal executive actions. Here's a president who has flagrantly committed a serious felony, punishable by a 5-year prison term. Yet, rather than hold Bush accountable, the Senate agrees to set up a superfluous subcommittee to watch him continue breaking the law. This is Jim Hightower saying, luckily there is one senator with a heart, brains, and courage, Russ Feingold. To learn more about his effort to censure Bush, call 202-224-5323.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the MacMan.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, telling the truth to multinational corporations. I would really rather you didn't know about. Yes. Tens of thousands of protesters. This is from CNN. Tens of thousands of protesters poured out of the streets of France today while striking workers crippled transport services, increasing pressure on the prime minister to withdraw a new jobs contract that makes it easier for employers to fire young workers. In the largest show of force since unrest connected with such protests erupted more than 2 weeks ago, some 4,000 police were deployed and patrols were stepped up at train and subway stations. Public transport was disrupted in 76 cities and towns, LCI television reported, and 7 in 10 subway trains running in Paris, but commuter trains as few as half, 1 in 2. Now, what is it that the French are fighting about? It is not that different than what's going on right here that brought 500,000 people out into the streets of Los Angeles yesterday and today as well. It all has to do with conservative, this tight, to paraphrase this tidal wave of conservative activities sweeping across the world. What you're seeing is the traditional protections of labor, whether it's the protection in the United States of U.S. immigration laws or whether it's the protection in France of labor laws being wiped out in favor of multinational corporations. The French labor law is quite specific. There is basically everybody who works in France has a contract. The government contracts on your behalf with every employer. Now, you can have a contract over and above that, but there is a basic contract. Now, we have the same thing in here in the United States. Most conservatives would not acknowledge it, but it's there. Actually, it's real. It's a, you know, for example, if you're 12 years old, you can't legally work in the United States, or if you're 10 years old. We have child labor laws. If you're an adult in certain industries, there's a maximum number of hours that you can work. These things are written into our laws. We have labor laws that constitute essentially a contract between we the people and the people who labor within our country. Similarly, in France, there is a contract, but it's far more broad and extensive. An employment contract must stipulate, for example, this information from URSSAF.fr. This is from the French Labor Ministry. An employment contract must stipulate the employee's compensation and job description along with the working hours and place of work. The contract may also provide for a probationary period. Compensation must be at least equal to the minimum wage, which right now is the equivalent of 719 euros per hour. That would be about, what, $9-$10 an hour, U.S.? Plus benefits and these sorts of things. But here's where it gets interesting. Layoffs, this is a descriptive brochure, right, for people who want to work in France. And it says, layoffs enable companies to adapt to market conditions. Yes. Okay, so if a company wants to lay people off, individual layoffs and layoffs of 2 to 9 employees can only become effective 7 days after the interview date. See, if the head of the company must meet with the works committee and consult with it about collective layoffs, it says. Layoffs can be individual or collective. Individual employees must be asked to attend a preliminary interview before they're laid off. In other words, the person laying them off has to look them in the face. Individual layoffs, none of this chainsaw Al Dunlop stuff where he comes in, fires 20,000 people and never even says hello. Individual layoffs and layoffs of 2 or 9 employees can only become effective 7 days after the interview. 15 days in the case of supervisory personnel. A job preservation plan must be drawn up when layoffs of 10 or more employees in a 30-day period are being considered. The plan must explain all action being taken to avoid the loss of jobs, such as reorganizing work, job sharing, redeployment of employees inside and outside the company, etc. In other words, the company has to explain to you everything that they're doing to try and keep you from losing your job, which means that they actually have to do something. The plan must also explain the financial terms of the severance package. It is then submitted to the staff representatives and the labor authorities. The notification period for layoffs under a job preservation plan varies according to the number of employees concerned. Layoffs of up to 100 employees can take place 30 days after the labor authorities have been notified. The waiting period is 45 days for layoffs of 100 to 249 employees, 60 days to 250 and more. Severance pay, and here's the kicker. Severance pay is at least one-fifth of the employee's monthly pay, including bonuses, for each year of service up to 10 years, and one-third of the employee's monthly pay for each additional year. Voluntary departures following job cuts, redeployment or reorganization, and refusals to accept substantial changes to employment contracts are treated as layoffs. In other words, they're covered by these same laws. Now, this is not draconian. To say that, you know, if a company decides it's going to downsize, they know in advance this is coming. They're going to have to pay for it. They're going to have to give every one of their employees one-fifth of their monthly pay for every year that they've worked and one-third of their monthly pay for every year after 10 years. And if they're going to fire somebody, they have to actually prove that they have a need to fire them, not that they simply want to pay the CEO more money or that they were able to import some cheap labor from some other country. And what the French government, as conservatives are entrenching themselves in governments all across Europe, the conservatives in the French government, what they have said is, well, that's all well and good, but we're going to say that this does not apply any longer to anybody 26 years of age and younger. And the young people, 26 years of age and younger, they're saying, hey, wait a minute, this wasn't this big a deal to begin with, and you're taking this away from us, this small amount of security and safety? No! 27 minutes past the hour.
This is Vilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies. So I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
The Newspaper Guild says it hasn't received the financial information it needs in an attempt to bid on 12 Knight Ridder newspapers being sold off by McClatchy, the company that acquired 32 daily newspapers for $4.5 billion. The Guild says competitors who originally bid on all 32 papers have information that parties interested in just the 12 papers have not yet received. 8 of the papers being bid on are represented by the Guild.
Students at hundreds of universities are kicking off a National Student Labor Week of Action in solidarity with workers. Eddie Morales is president of the U.S. Student Association.
We're going to be showing films, hosting rallies, and actions targeting administrators. Students hope to help workers win concrete victories in their efforts to secure fair wages, benefits, and to form and join unions.
More and more, Morales says, corporations and corporate money are dominating universities. Students, Morales says, are awakening now to the struggles of workers and the need to join those struggles.
Students have started to realize that the standards that they set of living for workers on their campuses directly affects their ability to get the most out of their college experience, and then let alone support an individual's wants for dignity and, you know, the ability to work in a climate that values their presence. And I think that is, you know, a philosophical argument that most students get behind.
The National Student Labor Week of Action is co-sponsored by Jobs with Justice, the U.S. Student Association, and a national network of community labor coalitions.
The Canadian auto workers' leadership is pushing to pull the union support from that country's new Democratic Party. The CAW is Canada's largest private sector union, and the leadership is seeking to reaffirm a position of independent politics with no ties to one party. Part of the decision comes from the Ontario NDP kicking CAW President Buzz Hargrove out of the party because he advocated strategic voting. For example, in situations where it seemed the NDP had little chance of winning during January's election, he suggested support should be put behind Liberal candidates. Hargrove, who has been a member of the NDP for more than 40 years, says it's time for Canadian Labour to hold all government accountable, no matter which party is in power.
Here's the Wynn Economic Report. The aerospace industry posted another record trade surplus last year, one of the few U.S. industries to sell more items abroad than foreign companies send to the U.S. The trade balance rose to nearly $40 billion, a 28% jump. Most U.S. industries suffered a gigantic trade deficit.
Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail?
And welcome, my friends, to the real free speech zone. No barbed wire, no RNC passes required. No cops sticking guns in your faces saying, hi, you speak up, stand out, hold up your sign, off you go. No, this is the real free speech zone. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-8466. If you'd like to drop into our live chat room, go to tomhartman.com and click the live chat link. And Steve in Warwick, Massachusetts on the line. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind today?
Yes, I just want to comment before you were talking about the immigration laws that the Republicans are pushing.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I think the reason they're trying to push it is because there are such a low popularity point there, and that they're hoping to get new voters.
There certainly is a lot of sucking up to Hispanic potential voters on the part of the Republicans. Yeah, absolutely. But I'd say that, you know, there's the Republicans are basically breaking into two camps. There's the racist camp, the anti-immigration Republicans are largely in the racist camp, and then you've got the corporatist camp, the Republicans who want there to be a larger labor force because that helps break unions. It drives down the cost of labor. It'll destroy unions. And so, you know, oddly, I'm broadcasting here live from a radio station in Portland, Oregon that is a part of a group of five stations. And during the break, I went to the bathroom, and on the radio in there, one of the other stations is on, and Limbaugh's on the air, right? That's what I get to listen to when I go to the loo.
Oh,
and he's talking, I got to tell you the story. He's talking to this woman who's saying, well, my husband is an illegal immigrant from Mexico, and I'm concerned that he's going to get arrested. And Limbaugh's saying, oh, you don't have to worry about anything. If this law that McCain has proposed passes, all he has to do is learn English and pay a $1,000 fine, and he can stay here and he can keep working. And she's going, oh, thank you, Mr. Limbaugh. And he's like, you don't have to worry about a thing. And I'm like, oh, man, it is so weird. It's like up is down, you know?
Well, once again, it just goes back to corporate greed, you know?
That's the bottom line.
And that's what the Republicans really like there. And so.
That's the absolute bottom line. The bottom line is that they
don't care about you or I or the tax collector or anybody else.
They want a large, terrified workforce to drive down the cost of labor and to bust up the unions so that they can increase their profits and the CEOs can make more money. And
yep.
So, you know, and
exactly. The rich get richer and the poor get poor.
There you go. Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. Joe in Brookings, Oregon on the line. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I kind of congratulate you for mentioning Cesar Chavez and his opinion about illegal immigration. I tell you, I listen to a lot of radio shows, and you are the only one on the radio, whether right or left, that truly gets the big picture about illegal immigration. You got these racist Republicans, they're against illegal immigration, of course, except they think, you know, having all these Cuban exiles in Miami, Florida, they think that's great.
Right.
Because they're anti-Castro.
And they vote Republican.
Oh, of course. And the deal is, this is going to be, as you said, it's going to be terrible for the unions, as we know, and, you know, the wages have already been driven down, and the unions are down to about 10% of the representation for the workers.
It's below 7% of the private workforce, Joe.
Okay.
10% if you include government employees. But, I mean, if you look at just at the private workforce, which is really the main measure, it's below 7%. It was 35% when Harry Truman was president.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And for the illegal immigrants themselves, in the long run, this is not going to be good for them. Because guess what is going to happen if they start agitating for their rights and the workplace, and they start agitating for unions? These companies are going to send in their security goons, and the government is going to come in, and they're going to start busting heads right and left. And when they feel these illegal immigrants are no longer useful, guess what? They're going to change the laws back, and they're going to send them right back, right where they came from. So the illegal immigrants themselves, in the long run, this will not be a good thing for them either.
Yeah, well, it's to the extent that, you know, the changing the rules one way and then back and then one way and then back. I mean, you know, the amnesty program under, I believe it was Reagan, it might have been Bush Sr., I forget which one, there was an amnesty program. And then coming back, and maybe Clinton even had an amnesty program. I don't have the whole history of them here in front of me. But these whipsaw programs really, I think, fed this. And what people have to, and it's amazing, Joe. I hear progressives on the radio talking about this, or people who think they are, and they don't understand the issue, and they're trying to get their hands around it. It's like, well, maybe it has to do with being compassionate. I'm sorry, there's nothing compassionate about driving down the wages of the middle class and destroying the middle class of the United States, or any other country for that matter. There's nothing compassionate about being the national enabler of a dysfunctional oligarchy like Mexico. There's nothing compassionate about handing higher profits through, you know, a terrified large illegal workforce, or even for that matter, a terrified large now legalized workforce that is so large that laborers are competing with each other for, you know, the table scraps. There's nothing compassionate about that. That's destructive to the middle class. You want to be compassionate, you say, okay, we are a nation. We have people of all different races, all different colors, all different religions here. We are multicultural. We're proud of that. It's a wonderful thing. This has got nothing to do with race or national origin. But we are saying we know that, at a certain level of population, we can sustain a certain level of wages and thus have a middle class. And if we get flooded with additional laborers, it's going to drive down those wages, and that's going to, and there goes the middle class.
Well,
and,
right on. People ought to be naturally suspicious when Bush is all for illegal immigration. They got to realize that the immigration issue and the trade issue are connected at the hip.
That's right. That's right. Exporting our jobs or importing cheap labor, it's all the same thing.
Right.
It's all the same thing. Well said, Joe. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. It's a, you know, very well said, in fact. Yeah, well, let's continue here. Dick in Seattle. Hey, Dick, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Tom, you know, as I see it, the three principal issues that progressives have to deal with, at least if they hope to be successful, are the media, voting reform, and polling. And I want to address the last one, which has been ignored, but I think it's absolutely critical. You know,
election polling, exit polling.
Yeah, well, no, polling.
Period. Okay.
Polls of topics and issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our politicians follow polls of voters, and the polls are by design not clear on the real issues. So if we're going to change anything, we have to run our own polling questions. And MoveOn tried to do this, you know, but I think they failed because they apparently didn't write their own questions. And they were vague and predictably didn't get the, you know, positive results that they'd hoped for. But this is critical because next to corporate money, the polling consensus is what politicians are going to follow. And until we run our own polling questions, there's not going to be any change. And I guess that's not going to happen until progressives, you know, actually do their pollings instead of relying on pollsters that are paid by our corporate media. And this has to be made clear. We've got to start writing our own polling questions, and it has to be clear and explicit so the people being polled give the right answers, and they will if they understand the question properly.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't disagree with you, Dick. Don't disagree with you. Raymond in Tacoma. Hey, Raymond, I misquoted Limbaugh. I only caught part of it in the bathroom there. What did I say wrong?
Well, yeah, because what he had done to the lady, she said she was an American citizen married to a Mexican national.
That's what I said.
And, yes, I agree. But what you missed was when he said that the whole family needed to be deported. And what struck me was that she's listening to this guy. And
yeah.
Must be a regular listener because she was just like, oh, that's so great. And when he said, well, you don't have to worry about it, because nothing's ever going to come out of this except that he'll pay $1,000 and then, you know, everything will be honky-dory with the Republican Party.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the big corporate employers.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the tragedy of the whole thing. So I got the essence of it right. I just I missed a piece of it.
Just a piece of it.
Yeah, interesting. Raymond, thanks for keeping me honest. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. 1-866-440-8466 is our telephone number. The New York Times is reporting right now. I mean, of course, the Bushies, they would like the news to be Josh Bolton is put in charge or whatever. But, you know, the reality is here right now, there's a whole bunch of other things happening in the world. And one of the ones that concerns me the most, frankly, is this is before the Supreme Court today. Yes, this is a shift of topic somewhat, but I can't let this hour go by without dropping this thing, without dropping this into the hopper, as it were. This special trial for Osama bin Laden's former driver. And really the essential question here is, should the executive branch, in other words, should the president, have the power and authority to be judge, jury, and executioner, as well as prosecutor, of anybody in the United States? Now, traditionally, people caught in the field of battle, we have a whole set of rules for them. It's included in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, as anybody who's been in the military knows, and they're subject to, you know, military trials. But they can appeal those all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. They have a court to which they can appeal them. The Bush kangaroo courts that they have put into place down in Guantanamo have no right of appeal. And we're looking at death sentences here. So the executive branch, which controls the military, Bush basically gets to be the prosecutor, the jailer, the judge, the jury, and the executioner. And the Supreme Court is going to determine whether or not this is the case. And when Scalia is asked, hey, what do you think about this? He's like, well, you know, of course it should be this way. Right? And if you don't like it, you know, you can do with it. In Sicilian. It's weird. 45 minutes past the hour.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
A growing number of cities are striving to become more sustainable, cutting pollution and saving energy and taxpayer dollars. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you've tried to make your home more energy efficient, you know it can be a big task. Imagine trying to do it for a medium-sized city. Madison, Wisconsin Mayor David Chislevich says you break it down into manageable pieces.
You pick off the easy stuff first, and lighting tends to be the thing that you can do right off the bat, and you save a lot of money real quick. One of the first things I did when I got elected was put in compact fluorescents in my own office.
Chislevich says all city offices are gradually changing over to compact fluorescent bulbs, which use a third of the energy of incandescents. Madison is also retrofitting its buildings to be more energy efficient, installing more insulation, sealing leaks, and replacing drafty windows and doors. Chislevich says these actions pay for themselves.
And then let's take the low-hanging fruit first, things that will pay back in just a couple of years. Let's do that first, and then realize those savings. Then you can take those savings and pump them back into more energy efficiency projects.
Chislevich has more ambitious long-range plans, including converting the city's buses to diesel-electric hybrid engines. All new municipal structures will have to earn an environmental certification from the U.S. Green Building Council, and the mayor wants Madison to get an increasing share of its electricity from renewable sources, 10% by later this year and 20% by 2010.
No, we're not on target, but I think sometimes it's important to establish ambitious goals. I would rather fall short of an ambitious goal than reach a modest goal. And we knew we were stretching to get there.
Chislevich says the city's falling short of the renewable energy goal only because area utilities don't yet have enough to sell. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
If you're considering a loan or bankruptcy to get out of debt, it's time for you to stop and think about how your decision will affect your finances and your credit rating. Before you do anything, talk to the experts at Trinity First. They'll provide you with a free debt analysis and a proven plan to get you out of debt.
We owe thousands in credit card debt. Those past due notices were piling up, and the collection calls were getting ugly.
Trinity looked at our situation and put us on a plan.
We started saving money, and we stopped dodging phone calls.
Trinity gave us one monthly payment we can handle.
They reduced our interest, so over time, we saved thousands.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity.
We did. Now we're debt-free for keeps.
Trinity!
Call the experts at Trinity for your free debt analysis at 800-936-7649. That's 800-936-7649. Call now, 800-936-7649.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And just to come back, welcome back, by the way, 9 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Just to come back to some of the real issues of the day, aside from immigration, the French, conflict? Protests in France. Here also, we just discovered that George W. Bush intended to invade Iraq. Now, you know, a lot of us didn't just discover this, but the media, the New York Times, just discovered new proof that Bush and Blair intended to invade Iraq, whether there was any reason to or not. Whether or not there were weapons of mass destruction, whether or not Saddam went along with inspections, whether or not they were just going to do it. Which, again, raises the question, why? Why invade Iraq? Which, of course, then again raises the answer that Cindy Sheehan was right, that Mickey Herskowitz was right, that the reason that Bush invaded Iraq, and I think, frankly, the reason that Tony Blair went along with him, was the most craven of all possible reasons. And you know, Blair wanted to be Churchill. Bush wanted to be, you don't want to say he wanted to be FDR. What would you say? He wanted to be... I know, he wanted to be Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan attacks a little tiny country. Let's go after Grenada. We'll take out Grenada. That'll do it. Yep. And then declare victory. Well, Bush thought that Iraq was going to be his Grenada. As Cindy Sheehan said.
As a matter of fact, in interviews in 1999 with respected journalist and longtime Bush family friend, Mickey Herskowitz, then Governor George Bush stated, "One of the keys to being seen as a great leader is to be seen as commander-in-chief. My father had all this political capital built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait, and he wasted it. If I have a chance to invade, if I had that much capital, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get everything passed that I want to get passed, and I'm going to have a successful presidency," end quote.
Cindy Sheehan testifying before John Conyers Commission and just, you know, laying it out, just very straightforward there. The reason why Bush invaded Iraq, he had decided in 1999, when he was talking to the guy who was writing his biography, A Charge to Keep, his autobiography, so-called, that he was going to invade Iraq because it would help him roll back the New Deal.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
There you go. Aaron in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Aaron, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm trying to think through the whole process of getting the illegal getting rid of the illegal immigration problem we've got. And it's really complex because, God forbid, have the death penalty for the employers if they hire anybody.
Well, you don't need the death penalty. You just need to make it more expensive for them to employ illegals than to employ naturalized citizens or legal citizens of the United States.
Right. And once
that happens, what you're going to see is that the same pressure that brought illegals into this country when we stopped enforcing, for all practical purposes, our own immigration laws during the Reagan and early Bush administrations, that same pressure that drew all those people into this country is going to slowly start pushing them back out again.
Well, yeah, and they have to be cut off from all social programs as well, because they would land on that. You know?
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I'm not anti-immigrant, but I think we need legals.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And that's the part where it gets tough, because when you say, okay, if you're an illegal immigrant, you can't have access to social programs.
Right.
Then what do you, I mean, that's the equivalent of saying to somebody that you're walking by on the street, you know, who just got hit by a car or something, you know, are you legal or illegal? You can't do that.
Right. But and then how do you send them back across the border if they're not willing to go? You know,
well, you know, that's done all the time. That's done all the time. You know, I have flown into this country many times and seen people pulled out of the lines, not many times, maybe three or four times in the, you know, out of the hundreds of flights I've taken over the last 30 years, and seen people pulled out of the line and deported back to the country they came from because they didn't have the right visa or because their passport was wrong or because they were trying to get in fraudulently. I mean, we know how to send people back. But the problem that you've identified is the biggest problem, I think, and that is when there is no longer work for illegal immigrants in the United States, and they then attempt to use our social services system, at what point do you say a no or enough? And frankly, I think that it's going to have to be economic assistance will be denied to them. Non-economic assistance would not be denied. In other words, you wouldn't withhold medical care to somebody, but you would say, sorry, you're not going to be able to draw an unemployment check.
Yeah, I think something like that would have to happen. The other thing is you need a foolproof identification means as well.
Well, and that's where it gets tricky. And the Social Security number, actually, you know, originally the Social Security Administration, when it was set up, we were told our Social Security number would only be used for Social Security and to identify us as a citizen of the United States, basically. You know, it wouldn't become a form of identification for anything else. Well, the system is sufficiently sophisticated that it should be possible right now for any employer. You know, no, this doesn't exist, but it should, for any employer to simply make a quick phone call or through the web or whatever, access the Social Security Administration and say, here's the number, and is this person actually, you know, Aaron from Tacoma? And if that number comes back as, you know, Ralph in New Jersey, then you know you got a problem. Or if it comes back as a non-existent person, because there's a lot of non-existent people who are, I mean, it's mind-boggling, the billions of dollars that are collected. And the federal government knows, as Paul Krugman pointed out in his column yesterday in the New York Times, the federal government knows these are phony numbers. They should simply say, hey, you got phony numbers? We're shutting you down. Coming up on the next Tom Hartman program, Congressman John Tierney on how Republican leadership refuses to protect taxpayers, soldiers, and storm victims. And Green Party 2004 presidential candidate David Cobb is going to be here to tell us why election tampering has been added to his civil suit against the state of Ohio. Remember, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different.